The Lord, who is always my refuge and my aid, that's what we've been singing about. Because we set our love on Him, He will deliver us. Because we know His great name, He will set us on high. Because we call on Him, He answers us. And all of that became true completely beyond the eyes of any human being. The great moment of transition in the Gospel of Matthew, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, takes place offline. It's there in the tomb. We don't read about the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. We know that it's true because He appeared as the risen one. But the Lord Jesus Christ appears as risen, and all of the promises of God are fulfilled. Everything that you've been singing about in Psalm 91 is now true, and eternally true, if you trust in the risen one. But that resurrection itself, it was an act of God. An act of the triune God, not to be corrupted by man. And we live in light of it today. So please turn with me to Matthew 28, and we'll read verses 2 to 10 about the one who already is risen, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see the precious word of the living and the true God. That's an amazing thing that the resurrection occurs completely offline in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, in the Gospels in general, we see the evidence of the empty tomb, we see the linen cloths lying there, organized. We see, not the way a tomb robber would do it, we see the risen Christ being revealed to people, and he appears to more than 500 people, it says in 1 Corinthians. The risen Christ appeared. But the actual resurrection itself is done by the triune God in a way that manifests his glory. Done in a quiet way, beyond human sight. Much like the way that Jesus Christ was formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. This tomb is now a womb. In a sense, it's a place where resurrection life is going to come forth. The firstborn from the dead arises from this tomb. And yet, we have witnesses to the resurrection to enable us to understand its power. One of the witnesses is the earthquake. The earthquake that was witnessing to the power of Christ on the cross when graves were broken open. There's an earthquake here. It's a reminder of Sinai. It's a reminder of Psalms like Psalm 18, Psalm 66, Psalm 77. It's a reminder of the power of God. This earthquake. And at the same time, we read that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And we don't read that the women encountered this earthquake. But we're told that an earthquake and the angel of the Lord descending from heaven came at the same time. Here he comes. This stone is probably flat on one side so that you could sit on it, but it's also round. And it's in this groove where it fits right over the opening of the tomb. It's a very heavy stone. It takes several men to be able to push it away because you have to push uphill. But the angel of the Lord comes, descends, and rolls back the stone from the door and sits on it, probably tipping it over on its flat side and just sitting on it. Victory. Remember what this reason was that the stone was placed over the tomb and sealed? It was to demonstrate that by Roman authority, no one could remove this stone. No one could break this seal. No one could enter this tomb and take the body. But God completely circumvents all of that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has already taken place inside the tomb. But the stone is still there and the tomb is still sealed. And the reason that the angel comes along with great power to push back the stone is so that people might see as witnesses the power of God displayed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't to let Jesus out. He was raised inside the tomb, and he's gone. And the tomb is still sealed, and the stone is still there until the angel rolls it away. This appearance of this angel of the Lord, it's an echo of something that we read in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Daniel sees this vision. He sees the angel of the Lord, this angel, this one who is here, this one who is present in this place, who rolls back this stone with great power and just sits on it in victory. This angel of the Lord has a countenance, a face like lightning. Imagine that. And his raiment white as snow. What was it that the disciples of Jesus Christ saw on that Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus Christ's appearance changed. His clothing white. A kind of white that they had not seen before. This is a heavenly being. This is a being of great power, created by God, serving him. The angel of the Lord. And when the angel of the Lord appears in the scriptures, people are afraid. The initial response is fear on the part of the soldiers and on the part of the women. But this fear leads in different directions. First of all, we read about the fear of the guards. These are people who are trained to stand their ground. They are guarding this tomb with the authority of the Roman government, with the Roman government pressing down on them as the consequences if they don't do what they're supposed to do. But they see this angel of the Lord, and they begin to shake like the earthquake. They're shaking in the presence of the angel of the Lord. For fear. They're shaking because they're afraid. In the presence of the angel, remind you, this is not the Lord Jesus Christ coming back on Judgment Day yet, with all of his angels on that great day. When we read that every eye is going to see him, including those that have pierced him. No. But this is an angel serving in the context of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the keepers of the stone, the keepers of that property are shaking with fear. Remember Mount Sinai? Even Moses said he was shaking. And that's when they saw God. This is his angel. And they become as dead men. What irony there. Jesus Christ is already raised, and they become as dead men because they're so afraid. The Apostle John says this in the book of Revelation when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in the images of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 or 3. And he's seeing him in a vision, but he falls at his feet as though dead. And Jesus Christ tells him not to be afraid. That message, not to fear, is in the presence of God. In presence of God's messenger here. But these soldiers are not going to hear this word. It's the women who are going to hear this word. For fear of him, the keepers shook and became as dead men. They're laying down on the ground. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. Fear not. We need to hear that word. We need to hear the words, fear not. They're repeated, you know. It's not only the angel who says, fear not. Jesus says it a few verses later. He says it directly to these women. Be not afraid. Why would we be afraid? Why would we be afraid when we're in the presence of someone whose appearance is like lightning, his raiment white as snow? He has rolled back a stone that it took several men to roll back, and the great day in which God demonstrates his power has arrived. You see, when God demonstrates his power, men and women and boys and girls are afraid. It happens throughout the scriptures. Fear. Even Moses. Because God is fearful in his power. But he has come to relieve that fear. He has provided for us a means by which that fear can be taken away. The angel of the Lord knows that the women are there to seek Jesus, which was crucified. The emphasis in the verse is on them not fearing. Fear not ye. The guards, they have reason to fear. They have become like dead men. But the angel is comforting these women. I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know why you're here. Amazing thing about the women in this gospel account and the other gospel accounts. They have the character to stay with Jesus. They stay with him. They stay with him at his death. They're here at his tomb. They brought spices. They wanted to continue the process of anointing his body for burial. It wasn't done properly because they didn't have enough time before the Passover Sabbath that had come. So they're there. And they're there because of their devotion to Jesus Christ. They're not quite expecting what they should have known too, what the disciples should have known. What God was going to do in Jesus Christ, which Jesus announced, completely hidden from them, because of the inability of people to truly grasp the fullness of God's work here. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, deliverance from sin, being set free from God's wrath, being placed in a place where the book of Romans says there's no condemnation. How can that be? God looks at sinners and enables them to be delivered from fear, delivered from condemnation, delivered from his wrath because of Jesus Christ. But these women love Jesus. He's meant everything to them. So they are there. And the angel knows that they are seeking him. They think that they are seeking a dead body to put spices on him, to anoint him for burial. But there's so much more that they need to know. The angel's announcing to them news that they have the opportunity to spread. News that they will be given the privilege of sharing with others. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has already happened. The great day of deliverance has come. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. There's no word of rebuke here. The angel doesn't say, yes, you have been repeatedly told again and again and again, and yet you do not believe. He's coming as a herald, an announcer of the news that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That's why the angel is here, to communicate the message, to demonstrate to these women that it is true. And so he says, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not only telling them to believe on the basis of the word of the angel of the Lord, the herald of this news. He also tells them, go look. That's why the stone is rolled away. That's why this tomb is open, so that they might look inside. And a wondrous thing is in there. An empty, arranged tomb. Not in shambles, like a tomb that was attacked by grave robbers. But you know it's impossible, because the guards were there until the angel showed up and they fell down. Well, the resurrection happened and the tomb was arranged by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, completely offline. It has to be announced by an angel, and the commission is given by this angel too. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. It's already happened. Go tell them right away. The one who's saying, don't be afraid, is telling them to go quickly and tell the disciples who scattered. Tell them right away. Because this changes everything, you see. When the disciples hear this news, some of them will struggle. But when they take in the reality of what has happened, when Jesus Christ repeatedly appears to more than 500 disciples at one time, when he repeatedly appears, as we see in 1 Corinthians 15, they will begin to grasp that they are now living in a reality where fear of God can be dealt with by trust in the risen Christ. Tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Galilee is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ started. Galilee of the Gentiles, as we read in Matthew chapter 4, the people walking in darkness, seeing a great light. There are going to be people included in the kingdom of God from the nations. In just a few short verses, Jesus is going to give a commission to his disciples. He's going to tell them to go into all the world and to proclaim the gospel. And they go to Galilee, the place where they started. The place where the disciples fled to is a place where Jesus starts anew. It's a new beginning. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Notice, joy comes with an adverb, great joy. It's fear and great joy. It's a different type of fear now. It's a fear mixed with joy. It's a fear with amazement, awe, that there is something that has happened that is so different from their categories. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we are to worship with godly fear. We're to come to the living God because we've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. And it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There's a different type of fear now for the people of God. For the women, it's an experience of fear mixed with joy. Something new has happened. They're in awe. They're amazed. They're overwhelmed. But they're also greatly joyous because they know that this means something new. And you could expect that if someone was writing this story to explain away the death of Jesus Christ, to try to insert his resurrection, that you would find certain people who are writing this down to be motivated to see it a little differently. Because in the society in which Jesus was raised, women were not allowed to be legal witnesses. So you wouldn't put it this way. And on top of that, it kind of looks bad for the disciples. The women get the message first. But these women have been given an inestimable privilege of being those who witnessed Jesus Christ at his cross, at his tomb. And now they will get the privilege encountering him as he is risen. The Lord Jesus Christ. They departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and with great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Now, we might think of that as just like a military statement or a statement that you might make at a great event where a great dignitary or leader comes. But it's also a word that simply means greetings. Jesus Christ comes as the risen one from the dead, and he greets them. Greetings. Someone that you miss. Someone that you thought was dead is in your house when you come home from school or from work, and they greet you. Thought they were dead. And in this case, he was. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he greets this woman. So how are they going to react? Well, of course, he's a spirit, right? You can't touch him. He's a spirit. No. They hold him by the feet. He has a resurrection body. They hold him by the feet and they worship him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's demonstrated to be the Lord throughout the Gospel of Matthew. But they hold him by the feet. This is a new reality. They're worshiping one who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And they're able to grab his feet. They're bowing down before him. They're worshiping him. And Jesus says, be not afraid. He echoes the words of the angel of the Lord and he tells them again to go tell his brother that they go into Galilee and there they shall be seen. On the day of resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appears in a resurrection body and he tells people not to be afraid. And he tells them that they have the privilege of communicating the message that he is alive to his brethren. He reclaims every single one of his disciples except Judas. He reclaims them. He begins to gather them. 500 brethren at one time see him. And everything has changed. And what we see here is the response of fear on the part of these soldiers is different from the response on the part of the women. And the women are given this gracious word from the angel, and they're given even more encouragement from the risen Christ himself. Be not afraid. You can only take that in if you understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means the fulfillment of all of his saving work. He is now in his estate of exaltation. But he's still walking along the ground. But his body is very different. Because he was able to be raised and outside of the tomb before the stone was rolled away. And yet the women are able to grasp his feet. Something completely new has happened. Something completely different from our ordinary understanding of reality. Resurrection from the dead. We wish that we could see it all. Bring the scientists. Bring the test tubes. Bring the lasers. Examine this tomb. Where was he when this started? Was there light? Was there molecules that were exchanged? Was there a transporter like Star Trek? How did it all happen? And that's the way we would all respond. But you see, the point of Jesus Christ coming is so that you might not be afraid. And so that the encounter might be with the risen Christ. Personally, that's the message of this set of verses. The angel is able to intimidate people. The soldiers are intimidated and shaking with fear, and they fall down like they're dead. And they have to make up a story later on. In the verses that we're about to read. But the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ, is interacting with people on a personal level. And he's addressing their fears. And he's giving them a commission. These women are the first to tell the disciples. And they're filled with joy. You see, when we begin to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we begin to try to figure out how it happened, when we begin to wrestle with the reality that now there is one who has been raised from the dead, and the book of Acts tells us that a day has been appointed when he will judge the living and the dead, we're rightly afraid. But you are meant to see in this passage that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. That the character, the kindness, the awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his people, is intact. Read John 20 and see how he interacts with Mary, who thought he was the gardener. It's Jesus who's been raised. It's Jesus, the one who's bringing us home. He has been raised from the dead. There is nothing that you can encounter that is outside of his authority. There's nothing that you can do or say, or not do, or not say, that can break the relationship that he has with you. The disciples scattered, and yet they are called his brethren. This is grace. This is mercy. This is incredible kindness coming from a personal God. God the Son, Jesus Christ, in a body that's so uniquely strange that it's able to be touched and yet it's able to go through a stone. And the point here is the dialogue that he has with his people. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Understand that he was raised from the dead, that he died for my sins. This much we know. Yes, he was raised. How did that happen? I don't know. I know the Bible tells me it was accomplished by the Father. I know it tells me it was accomplished by the Holy Ghost. I know that there are passages where Jesus Christ says he raised himself. It's a work of the triune God. It takes place completely offline. But you have the opportunity to have a relationship with one who is able to interact with his people like this. Do not pass it by. And the great reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes the course of life. Meditate upon it. Think about what it means for you that Jesus Christ, in his resurrection state, says things like this. All hail. Greetings. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they will see.